94.7 Timber Country. It's local matters. Here's Johnny Manson.
All right, here we are at 7:35, freezing cold out, and our guest for the remainder of the hour, we have Senator Jeff Wilson. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you, sir, and let's see if we can heat things up this morning on your show.
Okay, first things first, Governor's Ball thing they had the other night where the Elks Band here, Aberdeen Elks Band, played. Did you have to go to that? Did you go to that, the Governor's thing? What's it called?
You're talking the Governor's Ball. And you know, Johnny, I avoided that because it required a tuxedo, so it said. However, I went to the governor's reception last night, which is another event, and I'm happy to say I was fortunate enough to spend some time with Governor Ferguson. It was a very good visit we have. I'd like all of your listeners to know that finally, absolutely finally, after 12 years, we get a breath of fresh air. I would like to extend all the professional courtesies to the and welcome the new governor. He seems to be a breath of fresh air. We will wait and see. But, you know, Johnny, these are things that legislators like myself sometimes dream of, is to improve and to get better and, more importantly, move forward. I have the confidence, starting out here, that we're going to get stuff done this year that your listeners are going to love to hear about, at least for the next 4 years to come.
You know what I've noticed, though, you have, okay, like you said, let's move forward, let's work together. It seems like folks on your side of the aisle like to do that, and the other side of the aisle, they don't like to, you know, move on or work ahead, and I just don't think it's fair. But I guess life's not fair there, Senator.
Well, life doesn't always have to be fair. And to some extent, a lot of people don't like change. But when you bottom out, the change implied I'll offer means that you can only go in one direction, and that's upward. Again, I'm cautiously optimistic. Incredibly excited for the new governor. He made some very strong points in his inaugural, I'll say, speech that the joint legislature where I attended earlier this week. And he opened the door, Johnny. The governor opened the door for something I've been waiting for now 5 years. He used the words reform to reform government. And in fact, he specifically called out and said, look, I'm interested in working with, you know, our side of the aisle for reforming the emergency gubernatorial powers. And I know that everybody remembers COVID and what the previous leader had used mandates to do to, well, the 19th district and, quite frankly, the entire state. So there's going to be reform on emergency powers. I am the co-sponsor of new legislation dropped by Senator Keith Wagoner to open up the door to do a checks and balance on governor's powers, regardless, Johnny, of whether the governor is Republican or Democrat. Who cares? The governor should never have such unchecked power. We're on base with this. It'll be heard in my committee, let the reform begin, finally.
How many bills do you have this session?
Well, on that one, I have 17 bills already working its way through the legislature. I'm going to double that at least. Now, why would I do that? It's not a contest to see who can drop the most bills and work them through, because it's a lot of work. However, Johnny, when we get an opportunity through new leadership that has promised openness and whatnot, why would I wait? This is the opportunity to really push forward on behalf of our district and the state to do better things. And that's why I'm a little giddy and excited. The stage has been set. This is a whole new world to me, sir, compared to the first 4 years of speak when spoken to or putting me on mute. That is, nobody should be put on mute. And to me, everybody, Johnny, is essential.
So would you like to talk about the roadside safety bill 5023, the 50-40 enhanced citizenship. That was the 2024. I'm looking at your website here, looking for the bills. And okay, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Like, if a bill doesn't get passed, do you save it and reintroduce it the next session? Do you just shelve it forever? What do you do?
Well, because this is the whole new biennium start of the long session, yes. If, for example, if I drop a bill this year and essentially nothing happens to it, it'll stay alive for the upcoming year to some extent during a short session. But because this is the start of a brand new long session, we get to introduce new bills. So a lot of them have dropped off. Some may come back, but in different title or different format. Good ideas should never be put to bed permanently, and thus I'm full speed ahead on the array voluminous bills I'm working hard on behalf of the district. And, you know, all of those in the Grays Harbor area, housing, taxes, right. Elections. It's kind of a bring it on this year.
So, Senate Bill 5001, the daylight standard time, Pacific Standard Time thing, like not changing our clocks, right?
Well, you know, in ultimately, it's to ditch the switch. We've been having to go through this exercise twice a year. You got to play with your clocks. And I don't know about you, Johnny, but there's always that one clock or two in my house. I forget to move forward or spring back or fall forward. If I miss that time, I've been guilty of missing even appointments in my life because I didn't do this switch. So the thesis and the intent of this bill is to say enough. No more switching the clocks. Now, ultimately, the federal government has the power to preserve, say, daylight standard times. The state of Washington does not have that power. But we do have the power to nudge them. We do have the power to say, let's go to standard time. But ultimately, I've heard from more than enough people, what time of year is it? Do I fall back or spring forward? We're going to end that. Keep your hand off the clock resetting. It'll be a good start.
Before we go to break, any of your top bills, like ones that you're like, oh, really jazzed about? Not that you're not jazzed about all of them, otherwise they wouldn't be bills, right?
Absolutely. You shouldn't retain lazy anybody that comes to Olympia. This is a very tight schedule of events that we work within. We only have, 101 more days to go. So anybody that's procrastinating, there's your warning. We have cutoff dates and calendars. You must and should perform on behalf of your district because you know when the end date is unless there's a special session. It is, somewhat of a race. It's a race to the finish line to get all of the bidding done of the district. Obviously, you've called me out several times, Johnny. I'm not very calm sometimes. I'm full speed ahead, and that's to give the representation worth to serve all of you. That's what I believe I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, it's about a quarter till. If you have any questions for Senator Jeff Wilson, you can email or text message johnny@jodesha.com for local matters. All right, we are talking with Senator Jeff Wilson. If you have any questions for him, you can email or text johnny@jodesha.com. I got an email returning from a trip to Colorado on I-205 and I-5. The trash along the roadways when entering Washington State was appalling. No other state we drove through has this level of trash. Sad to see this in our beautiful state.
You know, I see it too. At times I see improvement, but these are still, in my opinion, a lingering effect of using our beautiful evergreen state as a trash can. It should never be that. I have legislation, of course, to make that state nickname that we've been using for 132 years to make that bill or that nickname stick. But your listeners are correct. There should be no excuse for it. There was a time here during the COVID. It was according to others in the previous administration, it was too dangerous at times to go outside due to the COVID and pick up trash. I never bought any of that. Trash is trash, and it has one proper place in the recycling or the trash bin.
Let's see. I have a text message, and it reads, what about changing the tax laws to lower or eliminate property taxes for senior citizens?
Amen to that one. There is a lot of discussion, Johnny, this year so far about taxation when it comes to property taxes. There's a bill already out that says after age 75, the property taxes don't exist per se. There's other proposals that will say due to income levels. In other words, how about your income levels as it relates to your retirement? And these are important things because all of us, Johnny, if we can do this, we're going to grow up to be old, and the burden of our seniors to lose their forever homes or to be put in a place that they can they live so uncomfortably all because of taxes, that wasn't the point, to survive so long without our, throughout our lives and then be so stressed out over taxes when your income is fixed. It's definitely a priority. I'm hoping that we can push forward some of that relief this year. And again, I'm looking forward to hopefully taking this all the way to the governor. It's more than important because we're all going to get there.
Senate Bill 5250, and that has to do with squatters. Can you explain what that's about?
Absolutely. For those that think that they have a claim or some form of right to enter and then to stay into other people's dwellings that they do not own, whether it be a rental, maybe it be a commercial building, maybe it be your house. We've been very soft on that, to be patient and to take our time on those that would squat or take possession of property to use the system in their favor to say, catch me if you can or get me out when you can. We need to stop doing that. There's no way that that has ever been acceptable. I'm excited that it has been referred to a committee here in the Senate, this bill, 5250, legal, law and justice, excuse me, committee. And it's a discussion we should have had a long time ago. It's a lot like you can protest, but don't shut the highway down. But you're not to enter other people's property and to lay there and to play with the squatting game that has gone on way too long.
We recently put our station on a signal in Pacific County that's 106.5, and you have a bill about the Nacell Youth Camp, Senate Bill 5247. Can you explain what that's about?
Absolutely. That bill is somewhat of a trailer bill. A few years ago, I was able to create through a proviso in a budget here, on the operating budget, that said, look, the Nacell Youth Camp was historically a correctional facility for troubled or youth males. And during the previous administration...
They shut it down, right?
They just unplugged it. It was closed. And so now we have this vacant facility, so what to do with it? It's a beautiful facility, Johnny. But my interception of this was to say, wait a minute. I'm not going to let Olympia to make a decision on a local matter so much. So the task force involved local members. The group was put together that would make some recommendations. What do you want to do with this property? I didn't want Olympia to decide that. I wanted the locals to decide that. And at this point, it was decided that there would be some consideration of transferring that property. The recommendation of the task force recommended to transfer the property to the Chinook people. And that's an ongoing discussion. There'll be lots of discussion on it. But meantime, we have a facility that is, well, quite frankly, serving zero purpose, costing us money, and to let it sit there and to run down into, let's say, something that has no value or whatnot if we keep going at this rate, that was the wrong thing to do. So this bill keeps the discussion alive, and it respects the decision of the task force instead of being told what to do by Olympia.
Senate Bill 5050, concerning the privacy of party selections during the presidential primaries. What made you write this one?
Well, let's think of it like this. 46,000 ballots this last presidential primary election ended up in the garbage can. Not because these weren't voters who weren't voting supposed to vote. These were legitimate votes that somehow didn't check that box properly, or they maybe somebody felt uncomfortable about checking a box on the outside of the envelope. And if you didn't check that box or fill out the form properly or the ballot, it went into the garbage. 46,000 of our votes went to the garbage can? Oh, come on. This happens every 4 years as I looked into this on presidential primary. So I have a simple fix. Let's put this information that is sensitive, let's put it on the inside of the envelope so that the counters and the auditors and whatnot will see it, maybe not your neighbors and whatnot. But quite frankly, it's an easy fix, but heaven forbid, we need to preserve those ballots of legitimate voters. They do need to be counted, and this should be a simple fix to respect the voters again.
I got a text message. I would like to ask Senator Wilson about parents' rights with their kids. What are the Republicans going to do to fix this crap the Dems pulled?
Well, I may have to use some different choice of words, but I will concur that we have ongoing, challenges to say that the state is not the parent of our children. The state doesn't have a school board for our children. They shouldn't. Let the parents' rights begin. There are a number of things that will happen this year. I don't have the bill numbers. I naturally will be supportive to ensure that parents' voices on behalf of their children will be heard. And once again, instead of letting the state trying to raise our children that is not theirs.
Well, if you would like to ask the senator a question, you can email, you can text a message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. We only have a few more minutes left, and then you've got to get to work, right?
Absolutely. The work seems to never stop, but we're handling this year is going to be a very interesting year. We're going to talk about your money. Your taxpayer money. It's time we had the budget shortfall or deficits discussion.
Yeah,
again, I was
buzzwords.
Yep. These are the things that we need to do on behalf of everybody, not just our district. Everybody, please be cautiously optimistic. I certainly am about this year.
Are any Democrats your friends across the aisle writing any bills that will give us tax relief, or are they all just increase more taxes, more and more and more and more taxes?
Well, you know, I'm still in that wait-and-see mode. There is time. We have lots of cutoff dates. In fact, February 21st, if it's policy related to taxes, the other side of the aisle's got till then. I haven't seen any that I can mention to you and your listeners right now. My side of the aisle is full steam ahead. And let's again compliment the incoming governor. He said he wasn't there to defend government. He was there to reform it. Again, this is a breath of fresh air to replace the 12 years of what we've known from the previous administration.
We still have a few minutes. Let's see. Here's an idea. Get rid of mail-in voting. Go to the poll.
You know, and that one, that will take the majority party. None of that is going to move forward whatsoever until the majority parties in the House and the Senate see validity to that. And meantime, if I can't move on that due to my minority status, you will see like a tremendous amount of bills coming from me to respect the voters on elections and security. I have three or four bills on that alone already, and there'll be much more. That one I can't post because it won't pass right now.
Right. Does it get frustrating being outnumbered, being in the minority?
Well, you know, everybody's listening to this, Johnny, so here it goes. Sometimes being in the minority is good for the district. It allows you to if you're an underdog, you quite frankly must work harder, longer, and truly invoke bipartisanship because your bill won't move. So being in the minority at times has certainly made me a better senator to some extent. But this is something I do not wish to have to talk to you about forever. Oh, boy, would it be nice to have majority status someday. I'm looking forward to it. But meantime, full speed ahead, Johnny.
All right. I'm checking my email here because we only have a few more minutes. I notice many of your bills, or a few of them, have to do with elections, ballots, campaigns. We talked about the presidential primary privacy. Election security cameras. You want to go into that? Senate Bill 5010?
Absolutely. Last year, during the elections, there were three ballot boxes alone that some bad actor tried to disintegrate with fire using thermite. And again, to me, a ballot box is like it should be a Fort Knox of respecting the voters. It contains your vote, your voice, and it should be guarded appropriately. Nobody should have any way to mess with your ballot. This perpetrator, the FBI, still has a $25,000 reward to catch this individual or others that may have been involved. But meantime, if it takes a camera to help catch him, and quite frankly, it was the cameras that were in existence that even got us this far to ID the car, somewhat of the substance that was used, and what happened. I don't want any spying, but cameras have their place, and God bless the cameras that have pointed out the information we have on people that would like to destroy your ballot while it sits in a ballot box.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. I know this is the busy time for you, and I'm going to let you go. God bless, Godspeed, and I hope you'll check back in a couple weeks.
I look forward to it. Meantime, everybody, thank you for all that you do.
All right. Have a great day, sir. Going to let you go. It's time for our 8 a.m. break. We'll do some news, some weather, and Quinault Wellness coming in next on Local Matters.